presence, we realize that we actually need nothing else. When we're in your presence, we realize that you are holy, that you are far beyond what we can even begin to understand. Oh, but your word declares that in your presence there is fullness of joy. Father, would you restore joy to our hearts in this morning? In the midst of whatever difficult load we might be carrying in our day-to-day life, we thank you that in your presence there is fullness of joy. Thank you that we can cast our cares and our burdens unto you. When we cry, holy, 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 when we cry, there is no one like you, it brings hope and it brings joy in our hearts. Because we know that you are able to do far more than we can ask or imagine or dream. Lord, thank you that in this moment you look right through us. You know exactly who we are and what we need and where we are going. Thank you that we can commit ourselves to you fully. We pray that as we turn to your word, that you would lead us, you would guide us, you would open our hearts. And more than that, Holy Spirit, that you would energize our hearts into action. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to have a seat. I lost my signal, so let me just look for my signal. While we look for my signal, my notes say that I have 30 minutes to do the message. The reality is I've got about 23. Okay, so it's going to work like this to make it a little bit easier. I've got to do three things. Let me just try to sort that. I've got to do three things. I've got to convince you. There we go. I've got to convince you. I've got to motivate you, and I have to train you in, now we have 22 minutes, because we had to wait for the iPad. Okay, so it will lower a lot quicker if it goes like this. Okay, the answer to are you convinced is yes. Can you say yes? Yes. So in a moment I'll ask you, are you motivated? The answer is yeah. Yes. And the answer for training is show me how. Can you do that? So are you convinced? Are you motivated?
Yes.
You want to be trained?
Yes.
Okay, let's get into it. Okay, so we are continuing our journey where we are saying that we need to be spiritually fit. We need to build some muscles. We need to exercise. But here's the thing. So these guys on this rowboat, when they practice every morning, they don't practice just to practice. They practice because they want to be godly. They practice because they want to look like Jesus. And some of these spiritual disciplines that we've looked at, most of them that we've looked at, is basically me. When I read my Bible, when I pray, when I worship, when I fast, when I meditate and I'm quiet before God, those things are internal things. But last week we shifted a little bit and we say, but there's just not internal disciplines, there's also external disciplines. And once I sit still before God and I begin to hear who He is and understand who He is, and like this morning, spend some time in worship, things change and things shift. And I am motivated now to go and do certain things. And this morning, we want to look at evangelism. And evangelism is it's not a word that really brings lots of good memories maybe, or thoughts or ideas. Maybe you think it's difficult. Maybe I should put it this way. There's probably two groups here. There's those, when I hear the word evangelism, their heart just leaps. They're excited. And then there's the rest that say, I don't know. But let me help you. Are you convinced?
Yes.
Are you motivated?
Yes.
You want to know how?
Yes.
Okay, so let's look at that. So, You see, I don't really need to convince you, because you already know. You know the fundamentals of how God has put his plan for church in place. You know this verse, you've heard it so many times, Matthew 28, that says, Jesus came and he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you even till the end of the age. We know that this is part of the gospel story. That if we accept Jesus and he transforms our lives, the result of that should be that we should be a message to other people. So, in short, what is the vision of this church? Is that we would experience the love and life of Jesus, that we would be transformed by that love and life, and then thirdly, that we would go and share that love and life with others. So once I've received it, I know that I should go and share it. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul writes, if it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Other translation says, it compels us. Since we believe that Jesus Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old lives. He died for everyone, so that those who receive this new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for him. Now, part of living not for myself and living for Christ, we all know, means that we should be light and salt. We should be able to share this good news with people around us. The other verse in the Bible that we know so well is the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor. And if I want to try and fit what we've been doing the last couple of weeks into that, loving God sometimes is a very personal thing. It's when I spend time with him alone in prayer or in fasting, practicing some of those disciplines. It's a way of expressing my love to God. But I also need to love my neighbor. I need to serve them. I need to be faithful steward with the resources that God has given me. And I need to be willing and able to share the good news of Jesus with those around me. So let me say this again. I don't need to convince you, because you already know that this is how it should be. The problem comes with motivating you. The problem comes with the fear that comes with this, the uncertainty, the, am I going to do it right? Am I going to mess it up? Am I really able to do that? Some of you might say, but that's not who I am. And I need you to hear this. God knows who you are. Can I say that again? God knows who you are. And in the midst of who you are, he wants to give you the ability to do what only you can do. Now, for some of you, you might say, it's difficult for me to speak in front of large crowds. That's wonderful. You probably won't need to speak in front of large crowds, because God knows that. But maybe you have a real heart of compassion to connect with people and just listen and hear their story. What if you just add a little bit to that and you begin to understand that the way that God made you, he made you like that so that you could connect with certain people. And maybe the loud, noisy person will never be able to connect to that person, but your soft and your gentle heart will open a door. Jesus says the following. These are his words. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. We look at the language, it's fascinating languages. It does not say, and you will witness. It doesn't say you will evangelize. It doesn't say you will share the good news. It says you will become that. It says you will be a witness. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and maybe that's something you can pray in your personal disciplines, when you spend time, maybe you read this verse. And you say, God, would you come and empower me with your Holy Spirit? Would you transform me into a witness so that there where I am able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others around me? One of the big things that we struggle with is failure. Maybe some of us have tried that. We've walked up to someone, or maybe a family member or a friend, maybe even a stranger or a colleague, and we've asked them, do you know Jesus? Can I tell you about Jesus? And maybe they said no. Or maybe we shared the story and they said, well, I'm not interested. That's not for me. Or maybe they did the typical South African thing. I have my church. And we feel like a failure. And we need to just reframe that a little bit. Jesus did not call us or send us or task us to save people. He's done that. He's the one who died on the cross. He's the one who paid the price so that we could be reconciled with the Father. Jesus is the one who saves. The only thing he asks of us is to share and to tell the story. Paul says about this, he says, some sow, some water, but God is the one who brings the growth. And maybe you are the first guy to speak to this person. And maybe out of his own hurt or his own insecurity or knowing that he's so wrong, he just reacts harshly. And he says, no, I want nothing to do with that. But you doing that opened the door. It began to plow a field so that the next person can plow a little bit more. And maybe the next person can plant a seed. And the next person can water that seed so that ultimately God who saves can come and save this person. My role is only to do my part. My part is just to share this message. I read an interesting story. A person wrote about himself, and he's saying as he was going out to do some missionary work, he was very fearful and very uncertain as to whether he was able to do this, or whether he can do this. And God showed him a picture of something like this, apples falling from an apple tree. And God said the following to him, if you will speak, I will shake. So you don't have to talk and preach the apples off the tree. You simply have to do those simple things that God requires of you. And he's the one who will shake. So a little bit of reading. So if you shake hard enough, you'll get all the apples off, the ripe ones and the not ripe ones. I think that's maybe why God does the shaking and we don't do the shaking. Because he knows exactly how much to shake. He knows exactly where every person is. And he's the master who is conducting this process. And you and I, we get to play a role in that. So I want to say to you, you can. God made you to be who you are. God put you in the place where you are. Because no one else will fit into that space. No one else has that opportunity to speak to that friend or that family member or that colleague than you. You are uniquely positioned, being you, to play a part in God's process, and to be light and to be salt and to share. And all you have to do is to say what he says at the right moments and allow him to bring the growth, allow him to save, Allow him to shake the tree and cause the right fruit to fall off. But how do I do that? How do I? Do I need a degree in theology? Do I need to go to Bible school? Is there a 10-week course that I should do? How do I share with someone else? And I want to give you two examples. So, I want to say just quickly, if you are not on our WhatsApp group, you would not have gotten this. But on the WhatsApp group, we send out two things this morning, two extra documents that explain a little bit more about what I want to share in a moment. So, at the end of the service, we'll put the numbers up again. Please just join that. So, Peter says the following. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. So it talks about the discipline of worshiping God. That disciplined person who reads his Bible, spends time in prayer, he's dedicated his personal life to God. But it also says that we should be able to give an answer for the hope that we have. I want to give you, as we run through these two things, I want to say at the beginning, don't use the method. It's not about the method. Here's the thing. I want you to just understand again what the process of salvation is. Because if you understand it, you are able to communicate it in the space where you are, in the way that you are, in language that the other person would understand and would follow. One of them that is fairly well known is the Wordless Book. And we normally put this in the hands of kids if they want to go share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. And basically what it says is the following. I'm not going to even give you the expanded version. You can read the notes on it. Basically it said everything was gold. Everything was perfect. God made Adam, he made Eve, he made the world. They were in the garden, there was food, there was no sin. Remember it says they were naked and they knew no shame. They were in relationship with God. And then what happened is sin came in. And sin came and disrupted that. And it brought separation between me and God. And whether you live in a mansion, whether you live in a shack, whether you have work or don't have work, educated, uneducated, doesn't really matter. That sin has entered into your life. And that sin causes a darkness to be on you and around you. That's normally where we meet the people that we need to talk to. They might think they're living in the gold place, but they're actually living in the darkness. And then the good news is that Jesus came and he died. And the red so clearly represents his blood. And just as he died for you, he died for that person. And there's no formula to this. So often when people find themselves in that dark space, they will turn to friends that they know have hope and have answers. And in that moment, we can share with them. Be ready, as Peter says, to give an explanation for the reason for the hope that we have. And that hope is Jesus, who we will celebrate on Easter weekend, his death and his resurrection. It is because Jesus died for me. I heard that someone last week, we went to another church for the evening service, and someone said it like this. He says, it is Jesus plus nothing. That is salvation. Jesus plus nothing. Jesus paid the full price. And so often, that's where the stumbling block is. We need to tell these people, it's nothing that you can do. Jesus has already done everything. And if we accept that, he washes us clean. He makes us new. He transforms our lives. And then he gives us this new, wonderful life. As simple as that. Now, if you struggle to remember the colors, you can just look at the South African flag. Maybe God had a little bit of a design influence here. Why? Because we have the yellow, the gold, we have the black, and then from the black, red outside, we have the red, the white, the green. In South Africa, the wordless book actually has another color. It's blue. No other country in the world has it because they don't have our flag. What does blue stand for? It stands for the willingness to go out and share this good news, to be witnesses. So if you get stuck on the colors, just find the map. You can talk anyone through this. And it's a conversation. Maybe they'll say, okay, but that's too much. We'll talk again tomorrow. Then you talk again tomorrow. Then that evening you pray and you trust and you journey with them. I'm going to give you another one. This is also in your notes. So this is Billy Graham's method that he used always. This one is nice because you can take a piece of paper and you can draw it for someone. So God made man. Everything was perfect. We were in union with God. That's the Garden of Eden. That's the gold in the wordless book. And what happened is there was separation. There was separation between God and man. But if we look at God, who's God? God is the person that loves us. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Who is God? He is the God, John 10, verse 10, of abundance. I came that you might have life, that you might have hope, and that you might have purpose. This is who God is. And as we share the good news, we need to share who God is. But there's a problem, and the problem is sin. And sin separated us from God. The Bible says that we have all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. It says there's a physical and a spiritual death. It says that sin leads to death and death leads to judgment. And that's what you're experiencing now when you're in that black stage of the wordless book, the darkness that is around you. You are stuck in the problem. You are separated from God. Maybe you try some things. Maybe you say, I'll read my Bible a little bit more, or I'll pray, or I'll go to church, or I'll give money, or I'll volunteer my services. I'll do something to try and get back to God. But none of that is good enough, and all of that falls short, because Ephesians 2 says that our good works are not enough, and they all fall in the ground. But God has a solution, and that solution is Jesus Christ. You can draw this on a napkin in a restaurant. Explain the gospel to someone, and the solution is Jesus. Jesus died for us all. The red part of the wordless book. First Peter says that Jesus is the one who brings you to God. He's the one who forgives us our sin, bridges this gap. And we are united with God if we respond, if we say yes. I love this verse, 1 John 1 verse 12, sorry. If you know no other verse, you know John 3:16, so that one is covered. If there's only one other verse that you need to remember or can remember if you share this message, it's this one, John 1 and verse 12. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. It's the story of your life. You can say, this is what happened to me. I thought I was in gold. I realized I was in black. I needed the red of a savior. And the moment that I accepted him, the moment that I believed in him, he gave me new life. He transformed my life. He gave me the right to be his child. Two very simple methods. Again, don't use the method. Understand the method so that you can have a conversation with someone and you can share the good news of Jesus. Why should we have conversations? Because it says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's another good verse to memorize if you want to share with someone. But then he says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? You see, my job and your job is to tell them so that they will hear. Then God needs to work in their lives so that they can believe. and so that they can call on Him, so that God can save them. My job is to tell the story. So in the 2 minutes I have left, I want to talk to you about God sending you, or you responding in this moment by saying, "Send me." So we used to have this thing when I was at Bible school, a little bit of a thing that we had this idea that God will only send you to the places that you really don't want to go to. Don't you have the same idea? God will send you to the most difficult people or the most difficult places. Why do we believe that? So to counter this, we would walk around and we would say, God, I don't think I can bear it. Under no circumstances, please don't send me to Hawaii. None of us ended up in Hawaii, because that doesn't work. God has not sent us to the places that's difficult. God will probably send you to the where you are. Does that make sense? You are already somewhere. And if this morning you can grasp that He has sent you there, suddenly you have purpose. Whether it's at your school or your work or in your family, the friend group that you have, God has placed you there. He has sent you there with a purpose. I wrote here in my notes, no, you were sent by God. He always had a plan. You, where you are, and I put 6 exclamation marks. God's plan has always been you, where you are. This morning, maybe you just need to say, God, thank you for placing me here. Thank you for sending me to this place where I find myself. Now that I realize that you sent me, would you use me to be light and to be salt? Paul says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ Jesus. Last verse. And when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And He said to His disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send out more workers into His field. So when you turn on the news, whichever way you get it, this should be your response. You should respond in the way that Jesus responded. God, there's a world that's lost. There's a world without hope and without joy and without purpose and without understanding. God, would you send harvesters into the field, workers? And just maybe somewhere in that conversation with God, He'll nudge your heart to say, but I've sent you. I've placed you where you are. I want to use you where you are. I ask you to close your eyes just for a second. I want you to think of where you are. Might be your place of work, your place of residence, friend circle, family circle. Can I ask you to just say to God, God, thank you for placing me here. Maybe you need to say, God, I never understood that you wanted me in this place, that you sent me, that there's a purpose in all of this. Father, we pray that as we look out over the world, just as Jesus looked out over Jerusalem, He saw the lostness, the confusion, the hopelessness. So as we look around us, Lord, in our places of work, in our families, we see the darkness. We see those who think they are living in the gold, but actually they are so empty. They have nothing to show. Father, we want to say thank you for saving us. Thank you for your blood that covered us, that forgave us our sins so that we could be restored to the Father. And Father, would you help us to go out and to share this good news with others. Lord, help us to have a conversation. Help us to share the little that we know, to plant a seed. God, but we want to trust that you would water it, and you would cause it to grow, and that you would bring salvation, as only you can do. If God's speaking to you and you realize this is what you should do, don't you notice quietly in your heart just say, God, send me. God, send me. Use me. Holy Spirit, come and help me. Give me the words. God, I'll speak if you'll shake. Send me. And Father, we pray for people that we might be thinking of right now. Individuals around us that do not know you, do not serve you. Father, we pray for them. As a congregation, we join our faith together to say, God, would you bring salvation? Would you open their hearts? Would you open their ears? Would you quiet their minds with all their excuses? Allow them to see the truth, the beauty of Jesus. And Lord, help us to shine your light. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.